we are continuing on in our series, Discipleship 101. Now, this is a challenging series. It's one of those things that really helps us and makes us examine where we're at with things. But I believe it's important because I believe if we get this right, if we finally settle it, you know, once and for all, this issue, I believe it will change our lives. I believe it will. I believe it that we will experience God in new ways that we have never experienced or maybe haven't in a long time. I believe that we'll truly become all that God has created us to be. So we're called to be a disciple, but it's more than just a disciple. Because what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a follower of a teacher. A follower of a teacher. We're all disciples. Believe it or not, you might think that you're not. You might think that you're blazing your own trail. You might think that you're doing your own thing, but you're not. You're being discipled by someone or something. The question isn't, are you a disciple? Because we all are. The question instead is, who or what is discipling you? We're all modeling our life after someone or something. That's just the way that it works. Maybe some of us are modeling our lives after a celebrity or some YouTube star or mom or dad or a friend, a teacher, whoever it might be. There's lots of options out there. Maybe we have multiple teachers in our lives that we're discipling ourselves after. But if that's us, if one of those categories is who we're modeling our life after, it's an issue. That's an issue. Because we must be disciples, but we must be discipled by Jesus. It's really the only option that matters. It's really the only option that will make a difference. Now, hopefully there's good people in our lives, moms and dads and friends and uncles and aunts and teachers that we can be mentored by. But being mentored by somebody is different than being a disciple of somebody. Being discipled by Jesus is what it literally means to be a Christian. That's what it means. We've made it to mean, you know, if somebody asks, are you a Christian? They're really asking, have you said a prayer? Have you said a prayer to go to heaven? That's what we mean a lot of times when we ask if someone's a Christian. But a Christian, it's a Christian. It's a Christ follower, a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. A follower of Jesus. So we need to normalize that when we're asking somebody if they're a Christian or when we're saying that we're a Christian, we're meaning that we're a follower of Jesus, or we're asking them if they're a follower of Jesus. Not did we pray a prayer someday, sometime, some year. Jesus tells us in his word, he's got some strong things that he says in his gospels. He says that if he is not first, he even says, if you love father or mother or son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. These are strong statements. He says that if he is not first, then we cannot be his disciples. He also says in the Gospels, it's a strong statement. He says that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. That's what he says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. So it says, goes on, that some will say on that day, look, we did all these miracles and signs and wonders in your name, Jesus. And he says that he will reply to them, away from me, I never knew you. That's quite a statement. Away from me, I never knew you. These things can sound scary, but they don't need to be scary. They just need to make us evaluate our lives. This is not about saying some prayer to go to heaven when we die. But even if we want to talk about that prayer and we look at the prayer that I'm talking about, that we all know, our salvation prayer, if we've said that prayer, we've given our lives to Jesus. That's what we're doing in that prayer. We give our lives to Jesus. It's no longer yours or mine. It's no longer you or I who live, Scripture says, but Christ in us. We're alive because of the Holy Spirit. So this week is Discipleship 101, Deny. Our text is back in Matthew chapter 16. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16. So the plan of discipleship that we've seen from the mouth of Jesus is deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. We don't like to talk about that because that's not comfortable. That's not how maybe we've grown up to hear things. That's not how the world around does things, right? But that's the message of Jesus. Before we get into this week's message, I'm going to re-ask last week's question that so many of us loved. But don't brush it off. Don't brush this question off, please. Don't Christian cliche your answer, right? Christian cliche answers aren't going to help us. They're not going to change anything. Wrestle with the question. Again, it's from the book, The Problem of Jesus by Mark Clark, and this is his question. He says, here is the critical question for our generation and for every generation. If you could have heaven with no sickness, all the friends you ever had on earth, all the food you ever enjoyed, all the leisure activities that you ever took part in, loved, and all the natural beauties you've ever seen, if you could have all the physical pleasures that you've ever had and tasted, no human conflict, no natural disasters, if you could have heaven like that, could you be satisfied with heaven even if Christ was not there? That's the question. We need to wrestle with that. We want to just say, oh, of course, I couldn't, because Jesus is everything. That's the answer. We know that's the answer. That's what we want to say and what I hope that we come to. But if we're honest with ourselves, is that our answer? If you could have heaven with everything amazing about it, everything you look forward to, everything you've been taught about it, everything you're dreaming it will be, but Jesus isn't there, is that enough for you? Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start reading in verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24 reads, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth and your authority. We recognize it. We submit to it. We declare that we will bow our desires and our opinions to your truth and your word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and the room of all those watching to minister to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would stir our hearts, that you would teach our minds. We ask that your word would come through in this message, that your truth would be told. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do in and among us what only it is that you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we noticed last week that Jesus starts us off with, if anyone desires to come after me. That's where it needs to start. Do we desire to come after Jesus? That's part of the question. If anyone desires to come after me, do we desire to come after him? Or do we just desire what we want? Do we just desire stuff? Step one Jesus has is deny. Deny yourself, he says. And if we're honest, it goes against everything. It goes against everything. It goes against everything that our world and the society around us tells us. It goes against everything that our flesh wants. Everything that's inside of us, with apart from God, wants everything but that. It goes against all the self-help books that you'll ever read. Because we're told in the books and we're told in society and our flesh and the world around us tells us that you do you. That find your own truth. Find your authentic self or some kind of something like that. That's what society says. But that is not the message of Jesus. That is not the message of the gospel. Jesus knows. He knows that this goes against everything. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. He knows what he's saying. Says he was, Scripture tells us that he was tempted in all ways we are, yet without sin. He knows what he's saying, and he knows that it goes against everything, but he also knows that true joy is only found in him. He also knows that he is the only option to life abundantly, to life to the fullest. He's the only way to the Father. He knows why he came and what he came to do and what it will accomplish in us and through us and for us. Also in Mark Clark's book, he says, the human heart asks, how do I find meaning and joy in my life? And these are the common responses. Something like, maybe if I just had a better job. Maybe if I had a better spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend. Or maybe if I had better kids. Maybe if I had better, fill in the blank. Whatever your better is. Then I would be happy and complete in life. Our hearts identify the problems of our lives as external. It identifies the problems of our lives as external, as out there somewhere, as that circumstance, or that experience that I was in, or that happened to me, or that went on in my life. But the biblical story pushes hard against that. Knowing that is a doomed approach because we are part of the problem, not the solution. Looking to ourselves keeps us from the one thing that can actually heal us. Yet everything in us looks to ourselves. Society says, just find it in you. You just find who you are. You just do you and you will be happy. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Especially some guy from thousands of years ago. That's old. It's a new world. Jesus tells us that those who seek to save their life will lose it. But he says those who lose their life for his sake will find it. Remember that prayer we like to talk about? We gave our lives to Jesus. We died that day. We talked about that last week. If we're Christians, we've given our lives to Jesus. We have already died. Scripture says that it's no longer us who live. It's Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us alive. We're already dead. We will never die. We will pass from this life to the next. But we already died. What can man do to us? What's he going to do? Kill us? He can't. We gave up our life. Take all our stuff? What? Tim Keller shows us that the Greek word for life in that scripture is psyche. It's where we get our word psychology. And it deals with identity. It deals with personality and selfhood. It's an intimate word of us as a person. So he says, Jesus is saying this. He's saying it's not enough to just know me as a teacher or a principal for life. Jesus is saying, I went to the cross, lost my identity. He was marred beyond recognition. So you can have one. Base your life on that, not yourself. It's so simple, but it's not easy. And it's extra hard because society and the world does, and it teaches and it pushes us the exact opposite. Everything around us is the opposite of denying ourselves. It's fulfill yourself. Don't worry about what others would say. Don't worry about what Scripture would say. Don't worry about it. You do you. Even in the church, we've fallen into this in ways. We've made Jesus something that he's not. In good effort to get people in, to draw people in, to make it more exciting, we've made him something that he doesn't make himself out to be. We tried to make it easier. We've made Jesus unintentionally a door to what we want. We want something, and Jesus, you have to go through to get it. We've made Jesus a pathway to blessing, where there's all this good stuff and blessing, but you only get it through Jesus. We've made Jesus a means to an end. Do you see the pattern? We say, I am not happy. I want to be happy. Jesus brings happiness. So, Jesus, bring me happiness. We say, I'm afraid. I want peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So, Jesus, give me peace. We say that I'm a sinner. I want to go to heaven, not hell. Jesus is the only way to the Father, so Jesus, forgive me so I can go to heaven. Do you see the pattern? We see all the good stuff, but Jesus is kind of there and we only get it through him, so we come to him to get what's past him. We want all the good stuff. We see that Jesus is the way there, so we go to Jesus to get the good stuff we want. But Jesus himself is all we really want. That's why we don't get satisfied, because it's not really all the stuff we want. We want him. It's him that we need. Jesus himself will satisfy everything in us. And we'll get all the other stuff. It's the same concept, but just in a different light. It's a different heart. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, and all that stuff will be added to you. It's not that you don't ever get it. It's not that you don't ever need it. It's that he's first. He's not in the way to what you want. He's not blocking the blessing, and you got to get through him to get some blessing. He is the blessing. He is the good stuff that we want. And as he's first, it's all added. The gospel absolutely includes forgiveness and eternal life and blessing and healing. But the good news is not those things. They're add-ons. They're extensions. They're benefits. The good news is that we get Jesus. That's why the question is so important. Because are we in this for him? Or are we in this to escape hell? Are we in this because we've seen him for who he is and we want to be with him? Or are we in this to just simply go to heaven when we die because we're scared of what the other option is? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save that which was lost. It's an interesting verse. Seek and save that which was lost. Now, if you're New King James or King James, they both say that which was lost, not who. Other versions will have who, but those two are that which was lost. That which was lost is an interesting statement. What is that which was lost? Well, that which was lost is our identity. It's who we really are. That which was lost is our relationship with the Father. That which was lost is our place in the kingdom of God. That which was lost is who we are as sons and daughters of the King. That is what was lost because of sin. God placed his creation in the garden. We know the story, Genesis. Only one rule, imagine that. Imagine a life with one rule. One rule. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We ate from the tree. And then instead of one rule, we end up with 613 rules and regulations. From 1 to 613. Because God never intended us to know evil. He created us and he said it was good. All we knew was him and good. We had no knowledge of evil. That's why he didn't want us to eat from the tree. But in order to be loved, there needs to be some freedom. There has to be a boundary, or there is no freedom. And you have to be free within the boundary, but you also have to be free in the boundary to break the boundary. That's freedom and that's love. 600 from one rule to 613 plus until Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save sozo, that word we've been talking about, that which was lost, you and me, our identity, our relationship with the Father, to restore us back to the Father, to bring us to himself as sons and daughters. Now, we've gone from 613 rules and regulations back to one. One rule. Love. But the first rule of love is that we love God with all heart, soul, mind, strength. Again, we read that and we Christian cliche it and we love God and everything's beautiful. But do we know what that means? Do you think about what? Love God with all of your heart. That's a big deal. Love God with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second part of that is love your neighbor as yourself. One rule, but it's a big one. Simple. But maybe not easy. What does it mean, though, to love God with all? Right? Because we like to make it easy. We like the prayer. Just say this prayer. Have you ever said the prayer? Then you're good. And we'll use and we'll say, you know, Scripture tells us all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. So let's look at that. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what is it that we're confessing? Do we know? Is it Jesus? Not really. Is it Savior? Not really. Is it Teacher? God? Not really. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's a big distinction there. That word Lord in the Greek is kurios. It means supremacy. It means supreme in authority. It means controller. It means Lord, Master, or owner. It's a possessor, an owner, and a master of property. I think that is quite different from how we usually make it sound. I think maybe it's quite different from how sometimes we actually mean it. I think maybe it's quite different from how we say it and how we see it. But I guarantee you, Paul knew what this word meant. I guarantee you that God knew what he was saying when he inspired Paul to write it. I guarantee you people in his day knew what this word meant. Paul is not saying that Jesus is a means to an end. He's not saying that, you know, if you would rather heaven than hell, then you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you get it. I don't believe that's what Paul's saying. I don't believe that he's saying Jesus is the way to what you really want. So you better choose him. Because the only way to get what you really want is you got to go through Jesus, the doorway. I don't think he's saying, okay, guys, just say this simple prayer. Paul is saying the exact same thing Jesus said. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your master, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is in control of your life, that if your mouth confesses that Jesus is the one who has final authority in your life, what you say and what you do and what you don't do and how you live, he's saying if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the one who decides, you will be saved. So it's saved, healed, delivered, preserved, made well, restored. That's how Paul says it. Jesus said it this way. Anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That word deny is an interesting one. In the Greek, it's deny utterly, disown, abstain. In the context, it's disown and renounce self. Strong wording. Doesn't just mean, you know, give up some of your preferences because now you're with Jesus. Jesus and Paul are saying the same thing. Jesus is asking for, in fact, he's requiring total surrender. Total surrender. So then, if we look at it that way, the question becomes, what are we holding back from Jesus? If we're going to grow in this, if this is going to mean anything to us, that's the next question we need to ask. What are we holding back from Jesus? What haven't we surrendered yet to Jesus? Are we still in control and ownership and authority of our money? Are we still in control and ownership and authority of our family? Are we still in control and ownership and authority of our sex life? Are we in control and ownership and authority of our desires and our possessions and our actions? Do we wake up in the morning and determine what we will and won't do? Or does his word? Or does the Spirit inside of us? Or does Jesus? If we really, really want something, do we just do it the one time? Because Jesus is the way to forgiveness, so we can just come to him. What have we not surrendered to Lord Jesus? Where have we not denied ourselves? Where have we said the prayer where we give our life to him, but then we've taken it back? How are we using Jesus to get something we want? How are we using Jesus as a means to an end? Because there is a difference in knowing that Jesus is joy, life, and peace. Now, there's a difference. There is. Listen, there's a difference in knowing that Jesus is life, joy, and peace. And then, knowing that, come to Jesus to get joy, life, and peace. It sounds like that's what we do. But there's a difference between doing that and coming to Jesus to get him. It's something we need to wrestle with. It's not that easy. For me, anyways. It's something to wrestle with. Jesus is life, joy, and peace, and so much more. And by coming to him, we get all of it. And it's amazing. And we celebrate it, and we worship him for it, and we praise him for it, and we tell the world about it. But we do not come to him because he's the only way to that. And if we are, we need to wrestle with that. If we're only coming to Jesus to get something, then we're amiss. We need to evaluate. We need to surrender. We need to pray. If you could have all the amazing things that heaven brings, but Jesus is not there, would that be enough for you? We need to remember in all of this that grace is amazing. And that we only come to him because of grace. We don't earn it. We can't come on our own. We can't deserve it. We can't work our way into it. Jesus' obedience becomes ours. That's the only way we come, is through Jesus. It's a free gift. We're new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. God looks at us and doesn't even see our sin in Christ. It's amazing. We get all of that. But more importantly, we get him. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Paul says, if you declare with your mouth the Lord, master, owner, authority, Jesus, you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Jesus, we thank you that you are the giver of life and life abundantly. God, we thank you for your amazing grace, your unmerited favor, your power and ability to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, that you bled and you died and you rose from that grave to seek and to save that which was lost, our identity, our relationship as sons and daughters of the great I Am. We thank you for it. And we come to you, Jesus, simply because you are worthy. Simply because we love you. Simply because we want to be with you. And we thank you, God, that as we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that all of that other stuff is added. Holy Spirit, show us in our lives areas and ways that we've come to Jesus as a means to an end. Show us any areas of our lives that we're coming to Jesus simply because he's in the way of what we want. And help us to change that. Help us to come to Jesus and declare with our mouths the Lord, Master, Jesus. And believe in our hearts that God, you raised him from the dead. And thank you that in that we are sozo, we are saved. We are healed, we are delivered, we are forgiven, we are protected. We are made well. Thank you for restoring us back to who you created us to be. Help us to live out your one rule of love. Show us areas of our life where we're not loving you, God, with everything, so that we can correct that. And thank you that as we walk out this life with you, Lord, that there is mercy and grace and favor. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we just declare this morning, Jesus, that we desire to come after you. That's our desire. And we choose to deny ourselves. Pick up our cross and actually follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.